Hey guys, you can totally help us out. You want to help us out, right? Well, totally help us out then. You can contribute to this show and many more on the Frog Pants Network by going to frogpants.com/subscribe and subscribe today. Easy payments, easy sneezy, and you help us out for just a couple of bucks a month. That's frogpants.com/subscribe. Coming up on TMS, some say Lois was perfect in every way.
The insane amount of destruction Superman paved.
Xbox does a complete 180.
Pot Mom says she makes a better parent.
Pot Mom. We'll get to that later. James Gandolfini leaves us way too soon.
Paula Deen is not racist, but she likes that N-word.
Let's play Call Now and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
When you feel grumpy, frumpy, down and dumpy, icky, creepy, crabby, weepy, yucky, mad, or just plain sad, then you need Chuck E. Cheese. Then you feel happy, giggly, glad and wiggly, wacky, bumptious, silly, scrumptious, funny, giddy, zany, witty, sassy, crazy, upsy-daisy, all the Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese, where a kid can be a kid.
They seem to flagellate.
The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream, The Morning Stream,
The Morning Stream, the show that lives among the beasts and eats grass.
Everybody, I would just like to play one more time, if you don't mind.
They seem to flagellate.
They seem to flagellate. Now, she flagellate. She says flagellate, but...
Flagellate, yes.
I prefer to think that she said flagellate.
They seem to flagellate.
I'm watching a lot of that, you know?
Yeah?
Just when there's a free minute, having it on in the background, just watching Voyager.
That's great.
I don't know what to tell you. I like it.
Are you still in the first season, or how far are you through it?
Season two, maybe two, three episodes in. It's my treadmill show now. You know, no more West Wing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like I should be watching something new.
Right. No. It's absolute time for you to just watch something, you know, something that you can, what do they call that?
There is a word.
Watch a season, yeah, like. Gorge on a season, but there's a term for it.
Right. And if you're watching like something you've never seen, you want to give it a certain amount of focus. But if you're seeing Correct. Something you watched a decade and a half ago, well, you can, you know, just kind of, it's background noise. It's almost, you can kind of pay attention, but if you turn your head for 2 seconds and Chakotay said something dumb about his spirit animal, it's fine. You'll get over it. You'll move on. It's not a big deal. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, and I like watching it that way.
That's right. Cheese Hunter nailed it. It's called binge watching.
Binge watching. There you go.
Yep.
Or
yep.
Botching. No, botching something else.
Yeah, it's something completely different.
Call it botching. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Morning Stream.
Whinging.
Yeah, whinging. There you have it. The British had it right. Thursday, yes, June 20th. Indeed. June 20th, dude. June 20th.
Jeez.
That means 10 days until the 30th. Mm-hmm. That means... What, 4 days after that?
5 days, yeah.
So let's just call it an even 15 before we see everyone.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow that it's actually 2 weeks from today that we kind of all gather at Snowbird for the festivities.
That is correct. I wasn't going to say that is incorrect. That is correct. We will be we'll be meeting at the big... by the way, I put a video up on the YouTube channel there, Frog Pants TV channel, that... for about 10 minutes explains a bunch of stuff about the event and what people should watch for and not to bring fireworks and things like that.
Let me guess. You're a little concerned, a little worried that somebody's going to break that fireworks.
I am because I don't know what they did because they were so hardcore about it since last year's fires that I just worry what will happen. Like, I don't even know what will happen. Maybe nothing. Maybe the park ranger man or whoever comes to the thing.
Park ranger man. Unable to catch Yogi Bear. Excelsior.
I was taking his picnic baskets. But if they do, like, will they just say, I'm sorry, I'm going to take those? Okay, that's easy. Or are they going to go, you are in violation of the Prime Directive and take you to jail? Like, I don't know. I don't know what they do. No idea. So I'm just like, better safe than sorry, right? Mm-hmm. If I sound overly paranoid, it's probably nothing because that's just what I do. And I just want to be careful. That's all that is.
Right.
All right. We have stuff to talk about. Now, I know you saw the Superman.
I did. Superman.
So that this will be all good conversation for you then.
Fun fact, Superman and Spider-Man are not related, even though they have the same last name.
Never the two, never the twain shall meet. Hi, says Walter. Got an email
here. Hi, Walter.
This opens us right up. Because I was talking yesterday about how I thought Lois was miscast and not very good.
Right. Amy Adams. Yeah.
How'd you feel about that, by the way?
I really liked her, and I thought it was a refreshing change from the, you know, I guess what we've seen is the overly, like, basically the Lois Lane that's played so over the top with Girl Friday. Oh, I'm going to go out and get that story. Huh? Yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm trying to remember who played it in the Brandon Routh Superman.
That was the surfer girl from the surfer movies. She's blonde normally. Come on, chat room, bail us out.
Yes, right. Now I'm remembering her face.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth, that's thank you. Yeah. And you look at Kate Bosworth, you look at Margot Kidder, and they all played it with this like,
I'm going to investigate this. That seems something fishy going on here. Who's the boss name? Who Morpheus playing this one? I forgot his name.
Perry White.
Listen, Perry White, I'm going to go see Perry what's Black. At the bottom of this. Harry Black.
Harry Black.
Brian Ebbett, everyone. Brian Ebbett. All right.
Yeah, come on. And if anyone says that's racist, come on.
Then come on. We're just having fun. Anyway, our hairiest black fan will call and clear this all up. It'll be fine.
Exactly. The fact that she kind of played it less about the drive and about the focus on I'm going to get the story into more of a human. I think she played it very human.
Yeah, I think it. I don't know.
Very realistically.
I like the way the character was positioned. I just didn't like her performance. That's
and
all.
I'll watch Amy Adams do anything. Wow. And have.
And have. That's right. All right.
Damn restraining order.
Well, I don't. Someone just put the weirdest link in the chat. I don't know what that's from. Do you see this little cartoon from.
Is the Lazy one?
This is Lois Lane, him.
Oh. I like that.
What did that appear in? That couldn't have been a mainstream DC direct thing, right?
Off Martian Manhunter there.
Throwing the bird. Double bird.
Yes.
Anyway, point is, I didn't love it. You thought she was good. This is what Walter says. Love the show, but are you nuts? She's awesome. She's easily the best live-action Lois Lane we've ever had, in my opinion. She will absolutely not be recast. No way. And in doing so, it would be a huge mistake. My favorite Lois was in the animated series, voiced by Dana Delaney. Hubba hubba, Walter. Mm-hmm. Hubba hubba, Dana Delaney. Hubba. Wait a minute. She's China Beach?
Yes.
Say who that is. Okay. Tombstone. And Tombstone Girlfriend.
That's right.
She was bad in that, though. It's the only thing about Tombstone I don't like. Yeah. She's out of place.
She wasn't very good in Exit to Eden either, but basically she was all kinds of naked in that film. So.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. She was really good in the other thing I can't think of. Oh, China Beach, I already said. Yeah, she's great in China. If you've not seen China Beach, that series, very good show. Like, I loved it back in the day. And
I saw a couple episodes back in the day, and I have not seen it since.
It's got the holographic doctor in it from Voyager. Robert Picardo. He's
Picardo.
In it. What is the nature of the medical emergency? All right, let's keep moving here. So he says that. Now, then I got to thinking people have misquoted me or misunderstood me, and it's fine because this is the internet, but I really enjoyed it for what I got. It isn't exactly the movie I thought I was going to get, is all I was really ever saying. I am cool liking it. I'm not one of these people that is torn asunder by the impurities of the Zack Snyder, Christopher Nolan treatment of Superman.
Yeah.
I'm okay with those things. Like I said, it feels like an alternate. It feels like a Vertigo comic to me. It feels like a offshoot or a special issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a darker Superman. I welcomed it with open arms. I don't want any bumbling Clark Kent. I don't want any slapstick Lex Luthor kind of stuff. I want, you know, this is what I wanted. I wanted a Superman that was closer in tone to the Batman films. And really, when I came out of the film, I said this was more of a science fiction film than a superhero film.
Yeah, for sure it was. Absolutely. Yeah. They played to the I'm from space strengths of Superman.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and we're not, again, folks, this isn't us spoiling anything. This is all well-known stuff.
Yeah.
But the main problem people have with it, mm-hmm. isn't any of those things you mentioned, Bumbling Clark or any of that. Mm-hmm. And I agree, all those things were smart to put to the wayside. Those are all, you know, he looks so different with a pair of glasses on that nobody knows who the hell that is. Like,
right.
Like that kind of stuff is really stupid, right? And it always mm-hmm. has been. It's always bugged everyone, yet that's what we've gotten. Okay, great. We have all that, so we can go back and watch that. Look, the Donner films are in the pantheon of human existence. You can go rent, watch, buy, and sit down there and watch Superman tear his logo off his chest like a big plastic sheet.
Right. It's a Ziploc baggie. Hey, Non, catch this.
Right. And for those who were really upset about, and again, I won't spoil the ending, but a lot of people are really upset about what he did at the very end because that sort of breaks the code, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They have all forgotten Superman 2 because he did that 3 times and you just don't remember it. Do you remember that? Do you remember that little bit? So I
really?
just to remind you. Oh yeah, hell yeah. So at the end,
they fell into the abyss shortcut to the Phantom Zone that he apparently had installed under the.
I see. He had something installed.
Right.
No, he tossed them by the neck into the pit. Just grabbed him and whoop, threw him down into the chasm. You got to watch that movie again. He doesn't save him. Those guys are dead. All three of them. Anyway, point is
this. I think exactly. Thorne's right. I think one of them just fell in there as opposed to getting thrown.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was trying to, the big deaf guy tried to jump or to fly.
That's and right. He just fell in, yes.
Right. Did you like the subtle nod to the big deaf guy?
Totally did. Yeah.
That was great. He's so much cooler than the other one. Anyway, I found this article on the insane destruction of Man of Steel and what that would do to a real-life city like New York City as mm-hmm. a comparison, because New York is really the analog to Metropolis.
Metropolis, yep.
So this is fascinating data that was put together by an actual mathematician / a statistical scientist, blah, 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 like real people, all right? Like real professionals in this stuff, in the Watson Technical Consulting team at some institution, something, something. The WTC estimates in the days after this attack, meaning the attack of Zod on the city and all that fighting at the end. All right.
Right.
The known damage would already be a stunning 129,000 known killed. That's confirmed deaths from what you saw on screen. This is the estimated death count. 129,000 known dead, over 250,000 missing, most of whom would be presumed dead and probably are. And nearly 1 million injured. 1 million people injured in some way. The impact, the WTC writes, quote, seemed to be similar to an airburst from a 20 kiloton nuclear explosion in terms of shock effects, but without the radiation or thermal effects. So, like the initial blast is what they're saying. Right. In terms of the strict physical damage done to the city, the initial estimate is $700 billion. To put that in context, 9/11's physical damages. $55 billion, with a further economic impact of about $123 billion. Overall, WTC estimates the damage would have been about $2 trillion on the whole. $2 trillion because of Superman and Zod fighting it out in the city. The numbers are staggering, but then so is the imagery. Superman and Zod's battle is of epic proportions, and these two superhumans from a distant planet laying waste to a gleaming city. Let's see. They toss each other through buildings, into buildings, crash mm-hmm. Giant holes in the architecture, sending towers and buildings full of people dying or, falling down, free falling into the broken pavement below. The rain of searing wreckage blew streets apart. People became trapped under fallen buildings, overturned cars, crushed beneath facades, blah, blah, blah. The onslaught from the back and forth battle was random and merciless. The two Kryptonians paid little attention to the damage and were doing it. That they were doing to anything but each other. In the end, Superman wins the day, but at what cost? So here, and then there's an infographic.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Look at that.
And it's all those numbers I basically mentioned.
It was massive destruction. And I think, the Christopher Reeve Superman definitely had times when he was saying, oh my God, we're fighting in Metropolis. Let me try and lead them out of the city to fight.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think actually he was in Superman 2 when he was fighting the Krypton criminals that he
lured them back. Yeah.
Exactly. and or got them to chase him up to
Crystal Land or whatever,
Fortress of Solitude.
Right. Right. And they and that had twofold reasons. One was he was going to pull his little trick at the end.
Right.
And two, he was going to just draw him away from and quit damaging all these things. So the big issue. So the reason I read all that, and that's all interesting and kind of fun math and all that. Mm-hmm. But the reason I read that is this is the chief problem most people have. I'm not saying I 100% share it. I think they have a real opportunity, like I said in our spoiler cast, to address this in the next film. This is his first big fight. This is his first big reckoning with what he is capable of. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has to take serious stock of what has happened. And that helps shape who he is. I think that if they do that right, and I think they could have done it a little more right at the end and left us with more of that. But yep. If they pull that off in a sequel so that that feels as impactful as it should, then I think that is an interesting way to build this character in a fictitious world like this.
And I think you set up the citizens of Metropolis. You set up an interesting side story that we haven't really had with Superman. We've seen with other superheroes where, you know, the citizens of the city say, great, we've got this guy protecting us. Is it worth it when all these people, you know, when there's all this destruction and sure. death caused by his being here?
Sure.
You know, and the other thing that I was thinking during that whole fight scene, how awesome would this be as Invincible versus, well, I won't spoil it, Invincible versus the Viltrumite.
Ah, got it. Right.
Yeah.
Spoiler free. I mean, like that.
Right. Because, I mean, you see that same kind of battle in the very, you know, in that very first story arc in Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's. You know, just imagining that destruction and how that fight would play out on video in a movie, I think was a lot like we saw here.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is very reminiscent of that whole arc. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read Invincible, you guys should catch up. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just, in the end, I think this is what people's chief problem is. And a lot of people said, well, yeah, but the Avengers, that was a whole lot of mess too. Mm-hmm. And the argument back at that was, well, not quite as much. And secondly, so not nearly as devastating, but also... with the devastation you had a lot of Captain America trying to get people to safety. You had a lot of people like, get these people out of these streets. They're not going to, you need to get them to, you know, there was a lot of the things that we expect Superman to be obsessed with mm-hmm. that he didn't seem to care about. And again, there's an opportunity here for him to go, what have I done here? Like, this is opposite of what I intended to do. And it's a little tone deaf in that way. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm saying it's different than what we usually expect from this character. And I think they can rectify a lot of that. There are some people that are just genuinely hurt by the treatment in this film. Like really, like their childhood is like kicked across the room.
Really? Yeah, see, and I felt this was this, I was looking back. I mean, I know I've seen it less than 24 hours ago, so I guess I'm still absorbing it. But if you strip nostalgia out of the equation completely, I think this is my favorite Superman movie.
Yeah. I mean, you run this one risk, though. This one important risk, and then I'll shut up about this forever.
Okay.
But there's this risk of Batman is cynical about humanity and thinks we're up to no good all the time. He doesn't trust us. He's there to fix our stupid mistakes because no one else will, and humanity is the worst. Superman... at least traditionally, and in the comics mostly, forget about the movies. The movies are just movies. They condense so much, it's just hard to do it.
Sure, but
in the comic books, Clark believes in humanity's ability to rise above the rest, to be better than we are, to find new levels of humanity. Mm-hmm. And he is here to help us do that and to help us see our potential, to protect us, but also to help us do that.
Exactly,
so
yes.
You have Batman's this constant a protector. Thing. Right.
Batman's a protector or defender, while Superman is a supporter.
Right,
and
And they have these two juxtaposed...
an athletic supporter.
And they bang heads all the time over these fundamental differences of approach, and it's awesome. It's some of the best stuff in the DC universe, and I hope... they don't lose that, and just now we have two really dark heroes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be nice if that divergence still happened, and that's what I'm hoping for future stuff. But
mine too.
And it's a movie. Just enjoy it, you know?
And I sure would love to see Christopher Nolan say, you know what, I got one more of these in me. Let's go ahead and do them both in one movie and do a...
Well, they're doing a Justice League movie in 2015, so
yeah,
I don't think that'll be.
It's not Christopher Nolan.
No,
and it ain't, I want Christopher Nolan, and I just want these two characters, and that's it.
Yeah, it's not gonna. It's not gonna be that that kid from Empire of the Sun. He's not coming back as Batman. I don't know who Batman's gonna be. I don't know who that.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Good for you! He'll say when he gets the gets the job.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
da-da-da-da-da.
So there you go. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. If you have, there's some more thoughts on it. Real quick, couple of bits of interesting note here. The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, starring myself, Brian Dunaway, and Nicole Spagnolo, which airs Fridays here on the Frog Pants Network, now has its own Twitter account. Don't know why it took us so long, but here it is.
About time.
It's at TFS Show. So that's TF, like fart, well, like the final score. I don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to come up with alternate words. You've got words.
TFS Show. And if you follow that, because I just started to realize, man, all the my video game spewing on Twitter, I could be doing it in a place where if people really wanted to hear me say that, they could follow where I'm saying it instead of it being cluttered in my regular feed. So that's one of the reasons, but also just a better place to keep stuff, show announcements, live show, you know, when we go live, that kind of stuff. So at TFS Show on the Final Score, which we'll talk about more on that show this weekend. All right. We did that Photoshop thing yesterday. We started it anyway. So
two days.
Yeah.
So we started with a photo. Excuse me. A photo of dude who works at Frosty scarf, like basically wheezing the juice right from the machine.
Right.
Basically has his mouth right under the Frosty machine, kind of like the taco guy.
Yeah.
And let me go ahead. I'm going to post in the Tadpool, at least, a link to all the submissions. There are only a handful of them, like six or seven, but they're all really, really good. So there's a link in the show or in the Tadpool. I should probably, if someone doesn't mind, maybe tiny URLing that to tinyurl.com, like Frosty Guy or something like that.
I bet we could get someone to do it.
I'm sure we could. So you see your choices there, the finalists, the six finalists. The winner, Chad Dorr, with taking the guy completely out of the Frosty or out of the Wendy's kitchen and putting him in Scott's studio.
Yep. And having him, I guess, spew Frosty into my mouth.
Right.
It's kind of foul.
It's really foul, but you know what? He could have made it a lot worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, but there was the one with the bacon coming down. Somebody did introduce the tacos, which I thought was great. Before Tank Girl had the Taste the Rainbow.
Goodness.
And then another one where instead of Frosty, he's drinking mayonnaise right from a mayonnaise dispenser. Awesome.
As it should be, right?
Yes.
So congratulations, and I like these. We should do these more often.
Yes. So Chad Dorr, email me, get in touch with me, or I guess I've got your email. Let me get your address, and you win a prize package.
Woo! Way to go.
Signed Smooth Federation CD and a t-shirt and all that.
All right. Nice job. We'll do another one coming up soon. Watch, you know, maybe Monday we'll launch a new one and then award.
Yeah,
I like the Monday launch Thursday award kind of idea.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to do it. That way the people who listen to the podcast who can't be here live can enjoy it as well.
Also, Monday we'll pick our teams for the Frog Pants All-Stars. That's all set. It's in stone. We're going to do it live here on the show, and going to be some competitive business this year, I'm telling you.
Then I can start writing questions that will piss Veronica off no matter what team she's on.
Absolutely.
If she ends up on a team, because it seems to happen every – it's the one constant.
I was going to say the last two Nerdaculars, if you could count on anything, it was that.
It's funny because, I mean, she's so – you know, she's just such a sweet, you know, innocent, whatever.
So kind, all and quiet, so and just calm, and all that.
Exactly. But boy, you put her in some sort of competition, and the
gloves come off,
claws come out. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty bad. But we love her and robot arms.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let's see if we can call Daryl. Now we understand he may be between things. I just keep getting these. Sorry, Hodor is texting me again. All right. Who am I calling? Daryl. That's who I'm calling. All right. Let's see if he's there. If we get him picking up, I'll play his theme. Because usually we just play his theme and assume he's there. But let's see him. Oh, I hear him. Welcome to Stump a Trek Nerd. It's brought to you by...
Check out Anxiety Party. Cheesy G's podcast about anxieties and ways to deal all the ways. Find it on iTunes and follow on Twitter at Anxiety Party. That's A-N-X-I-E-T-E-A Party. I'm also raising money through GoFundMe, so please visit anxietyparty.com for details. There will be rambling and beverages.
Ah, sounds all right. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, what? I am finally here.
Oh, good. Well, we caught you perfectly then, because I wasn't sure if you would be.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. I walked in the door, and normally, I guess you call around 7:20 or here at this time,
yeah.
Or 22.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have to run for the phone and pick it up.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we called and we did. I asked Captain Catherine Janeway what she thought about you and your son in the car, and she said this.
They seem to flagellate.
That's all she said to me. I don't know what's going on with that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And then Daryl said, well, why don't you come into town? I'll show you all around Seattle. You can see the big city. And she said,
oh, I'd like to see your cities.
All right. Anyway, making up a little story here as I go along.
That's great.
Daryl, it's Star Trek time. You are the Trek nerd, and you come on here and answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. You know the drill. Here's your question. In the original series episode, The Way to Eden.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Yeah. The Enterprise encounters a ship full of space hippies. One of these,
yeah.
I'm going to say it the way he spelled it. One of these hippies is named Adam. Adam enjoys playing music. He invites one member of the Enterprise crew to a jam session. Which crew member does he want to jam with? Oh, this is so bad. I saw a clip from this the other day. It's so bad. It's the one where they sing. They do like a little, like the Monkees style song.
Really?
It's really bad, Brian.
Only the space version of it.
Yeah, it's so bad. Anyway, is it A, Sulu, B, Dr. McCoy, C, Spock, or D, Uhura? is it one of those people? All right, we know it is. But we haven't talked about what we're going to eat, but I think we're going to do like another schnago here.
Yeah, got the box right here.
I ate way too many of those Oreos yesterday. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Really? Yeah. I had just the one. No, I had. Did I have a second one? I think I had a second one, but that's it.
I don't know what my problem was.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's try the Obel whole grain crispy wafers.
Okay.
Double dark.
So, I was going to say, we had the.
Racist.
Do we have the silk? Yeah, we had the silky dark before.
Yeah, we did. Oh, these are $1.99 each. Jeez, left his little price tag on there.
Well.
Gosh, Nago.
No, we see how much you care about us.
Yeah, he loves us.
Like right. A double dark.
Daryl doesn't have this.
Wafer.
No.
Wasn't, no, never
smooth
mind.
Silky.
I almost said something that would have been taken totally wrong, so I'm not going to say it. Hedge of my bets. Okay, here we go. Let's try it. It's like a little, you know, something Bill Murray, something Bill Murray would find in the pool. It's a little earthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're licking the bottom.
Foodsy.
Yeah, like you're eating the bottom of your grandma's coffee grinder. It's not a euphemism, guys.
I like it. I know you don't like the dark chocolate. This
yeah,
is great.
That's I think my problem with it. Oh, I know what it reminds me of.
Your butt.
All right. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. I've had worse things. It's whole grain. I suppose that's a little better for me, right? Unless
yep.
I'm glutinously intolerant or whatever.
You should be more tolerant of your gluten.
Hey, can gluten be in everything? Somebody with gluten intolerance in the chat room. I'm sure there's one of you has to be in there.
Can statistically. Gluten be in everything?
Can it be,
what does that mean?
Well, what I mean is, do you have to make sure that anything you eat at a restaurant or whatever, is it just breads and things? Or can it be like, oh, here's your fajitas. But the fajitas could have gluten in them? Like, I'm just curious if there's, like, is it just in breads?
More like, yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be in your tortillas, probably, in your hamburger buns.
Tortillas, okay. Anything with flour, they say.
Anything with flour, yeah.
Okay. Eric Vic Storm in the chat room says, no, nothing can have gluten in it. Okay. Should pay attention to everything. Let's see. Because I just wonder. Let's see. Fajitas would have gluten in the tortillas. Okay. Corn tortillas. Yes. Wheat intolerance. Okay. It's in corn flakes. You got to watch cereal and things like that. So it's grains then, really.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fine.
Yeah. My next door neighbor went out to dinner once and she started complaining about things on the gluten gluten-free menu. Oh, this looks so good, but it's gluten-free. I want gluten. Can I order extra gluten?
Yeah, can I get extra gluten in that?
And she was dead serious.
Really? Oh my gosh, really?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm frightened of the people you hang out with.
Oh, you should be. These are frightening people.
That's really weird. all right. Well, oh yeah, cross-contamination is a big deal. So this is my wife is allergic to sushi, but not just to the seaweed. For some reason, she's developed a seaweed intolerance, and she gets horrendous rashes all over her body from it. Mm. It's real bad, and they hurt, and it looks like a million bee stings, and it's just bad. So she can't have, and every time she has some by accident or something, it's worse. Every time it gets worse. So she can't do it, and so we can't even go to get sushi where they give her, like, soy paper or something on there.
Really? Just because it's been prepared around the...
If the knife even touched another piece of sushi that had seaweed on it, she'll get it and she'll freak out and it'll have the problem again. Mm. So it's weird. Really weird. And she hates it because she loves sushi. It's one of her favorite things in the world and she can't have it.
Yeah, right. That would try. Nuts. I couldn't do it.
I don't think I could either. So I'm hats off to you gluten sufferers or anyone with a food allergy out there. I mean, I know there's variations of it. Like, some people are lactose intolerant to the point that they get a little bit of milk and they're in the hospital the next day. And then there are people who are lactose intolerant that just, you know, fart.
Fart around the resorts.
Right. Fart around convention centers that you're checking out. Right.
Right.
Crop dusting, we call it. Dusting the crops. All right, Daryl, speaking of dusting the crops, you got any birthdays? Anybody of note of worth?
Well, speaking of allergies, just a minute.
Holy crap. Tell me you were blowing your nose and that wasn't a sneeze. If that was a sneeze, then that was the... Okay.
That's a nose blow.
Because if that was a sneeze, that would have been alarming. Alarming. Anyway. Sorry. Allergies, eh? Springtime, summer. Yeah.
Yeah, grasses just kill me. And I've avoided taking a pill so far today so I wouldn't be my brain wouldn't be dead.
That stuff messes me up, too. I'm an every other year kind of guy, so I don't really have bad allergy reactions. It's every other year there's something in the air that's like semi-perennial and just kills me. So next year, whatever that is, it'll just murder me. Last year, I was just thrashed. I was on the show. Yeah. I could barely breathe in the morning. It was terrible. Not this year. Feeling good.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Until
I'm taking a pill right now.
Oh, good. Take a pill, Daryl. Take a pill. Take a chill pill. All right. So, tell us of your birthdays. Whose birthday is it?
Ah, on Saturday, it will be Tim Russ's birthday. He'll be 57. Oh.
Ah, I believe to be the second best Vulcan in the history of Star Trek mythology.
I agree.
He's amazing. In fact, you know what? I know this is controversial. I think he anchors Voyager in a very real way. To the point that I don't think the show would have made it as long as it did, or at least made it to the 7 of 9 years where they started using TNA to help the show stay on the air. I think he is a really important part of that. He was a part of it that made you just feel he made me feel safe on Voyager when I watched that show. So I don't know, something about him. He's awesome. Well, happy birthday to him. What's he doing these days? Anything?
Oh, he's doing something.
Okay. Well, good.
I don't know what.
Because I like him. He's doing something.
Alive, so.
Okay, good. He's with us.
He's doing something.
All right, great. How old?
57.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Tim Russ was not 30s. Oh, I guess he may have been. Okay, well, never mind then. Boy, time goes on. Holy crap. He's 7 years older than Johnny Depp. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. All right.
He's in some kind of Star Trek fan films lately.
Fan films, really? As Tuvok or...
Yeah,
fanfic.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you don't want that. I didn't know that, but I want to see some. So let's dig some of that up.
But they're not good, though.
Oh, well, I still want to see
them. They're not good.
Still want to see them. Okay, Daryl, back to your question here. This question about who's this hippie want to jam with? Is it Sulu, McCoy, Spock, or Uhura?
I can hear the music in my brain, and it's kind of melting it. It's Spock, and he's doing his Vulcan harp along with the guy's weird, crazy, weird string instrument thing.
Yeah, I thought Uhura sang with them as well. Didn't she do that a little bit?
In a different episode, she sang with Spock, but
that might be what I'm thinking.
Sang with the space hippies.
Yeah, okay, space hippies. Oh, man. It's totally what they were, too. They were totally space hippies. All right. Well, you say Spock. Let's find out if the judges agree. Was it? Whoops. Was it? Oh, why is Shatner up here? What the heck?
Hey.
Oh, that thing. All right. Never mind. Judges, is it Spock?
Congratulations!
Yay.
You're a winner!
You did it. The answer is Spock. He asked Spock to join the other hippies in a jam session. Here's a clip of that happening, this abomination happening.
Hey, brother, do you play? Is it Vulcan? Can I try it? Oh, that's now! That's real now! I reach that, brother, I really do. Hey, how about a session? You and us, it would sound. That's what I came for. I wanted to ask. You know, great white captain upstairs, but he don't reach us. But would he shake on a session? I mean, we want to cooperate like you asked, so I'm asking.
If I understand you correctly, I believe the answer might be yes.
I'll spread the word.
All right, daddy-o. Groovy. That's terrible. But so terrible, in fact, that we enjoyed it. All right, Daryl, it's good to have you back. As always, great week on the show. You only missed one. I think that's a pretty damn good record. Daryl can be found on Twitter at This Week, or no, that's the other thing. He can be found at The Trek Nerd on Twitter. The Trek Nerd. Always spirited conversation happening on that Twitter account. So go follow him there. Also, This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com. Daryl, do you have a quote?
Okay, here we go. Destruct sequence number 3. Code 1B2B3.
Oh, man. Data.
Picard.
I'm going to help you. It's TOS.
Oh.
That's original.
Because it sounded like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounded
1B23914999961.
Oh, yeah. The one where Data's doing Picard's voice. Ah, right. Yeah. That was so
okay,
weird.
So TOS. Let's say Scotty.
Scotty, okay, I'm going to say Spock.
Brian wins.
Damn it.
Nah.
Go away, Daryl. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Nerdy Knots, Knerdy Knots. It's an Etsy store where you can find all manner of things made with paracord, such as dog leashes, collars, bracelets, lanyards, and many other things. Everything we make is made with 550 paracord and is handmade to last. We've started our store to help pay for our wedding, and we dearly appreciate your business. Visit our store at tinyurl.com/nerdyknots, Knerdy Knots, and facebook.com, Knerdy Knots.
That sounds great. Xbox. Yesterday was weird, dude. What a weird day.
I'm so glad we're talking about it.
So weird. So I made a prediction on Monday. So I want people to remember this. And I did it in the form of a comic strip on myextralife.com on Monday, where I made a joke. It was a newscaster with breaking news saying, "We interrupt this syndicated rerun of Mr. Belvedere to bring you the following news." And he started to explain that Microsoft had done a full reversal on DRM. They made one prediction that didn't come true, that they dropped their Xbox One by $100. But all the DRM got dropped, the game sharing stuff got dropped, all that stuff got dropped. It seemed like a pipe dream to me when I drew it, okay? I was creating this art, I went, this thing I'm drawing, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But sure, why not? Even in the post, I wrote something about how there's no way it was going to happen. And the final frame was, hold on, I'm being told now they're renaming the console to the Xbox 180. Okay, that was the joke. Before anybody else had coined the phrase.
Nicely done.
Xbox 180. So, just want to, you know, it's all time stamped. You can go see when it was posted. There it is. Yesterday, Microsoft puts out a press release. Leaked some information at first. The guys at Giant Bomb got it first, and they started spreading all over the place like crazy. First as rumor, then as fact. They have backed off that stuff. They have said, all right, we got your feedback. In fact, this is the name of the post. The title is Your Feedback Matters, an update on Xbox One by Don Matrick, President Interactive Entertainment Business over there at Microsoft. It says, last week at E3, the excitement, creativity, and future of our industry was on display for a global audience. Blah, 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 blah. They keep talking about we believe in the benefits of a connected digital future. But since the unveiling, they have heard directly from many of you, read your comments, and listened to your feedback. we would like to take the opportunity today to thank you for that, and blah, blah, blah. We're going to make some changes. Here we go. Today, I'm announcing the following changes to Xbox One and how you can play, share, lend, and resell your games exactly as you do today on Xbox 360. Here's what that means. The internet connection will not be required to play offline Xbox games. No more 24-hour connection requirement. Check-in thing. Done. Mm-hmm. Off. Mm-hmm. Out. That was the thing people hated. Now it's gone. Trade-in, lend, resell, gift, and rent disc-based games just like you do today. In other words, no limitations. You can share them, give them to your buddies, take them to the store, resell them. Done. So, good. That's it. They've... The major sticking points, and forget, you know, if you're forgetting...
Price is still $100.
Still $100 more, still connect required and listening all the time stuff and all those things people think they have a problem with. I don't think that one's that big a deal, but nonetheless, the big sticking points, the DRM, the stuff that was really putting them in the hole and gave Sony, like literally handed Sony a loaded gun that day, mm-hmm. They're pulling away from and taking away. Wow. And that's kind of interesting because... That makes it viable, more viable for me. Like that interests me more now than it did before. Mm-hmm. I still pre-ordered a PS3, mm-hmm. and I'm still more excited about that particular box. I feel like Sony's more hungry, but I am shocked that Microsoft backed off.
This quickly too. You know, I mean, it's
a week later, dude.
A week later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1 week later, and it says things like this. Thank you again for your feedback. Our team remains committed to listening, taking feedback, and delivering a great product to you later this year. What this probably says to me is all of those ideas they had for all of that DRM stuff mm-hmm. wasn't actually implemented yet. They hadn't done all the server architecture for yet. Right. If anything, this is less work for them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they don't have to worry about it.
I mean, it probably, you know, let's be honest, probably opens the door for piracy a little bit more than they had before. But... boy, I mean, how much bad press and negative social media are they going to avoid by having it like this? So,
well, my
good for them.
My friend at Amazon claims that the PS4 pre-orders since mm-hmm. the day that both went on pre-order mm-hmm. are 5-1 over
I'm
Xbox
sure.
One. So yeah. that I think those are the kinds of things that make feedback's interesting. But that's not what right. makes Microsoft change their mind.
No,
what makes
no,
them
no.
change
money.
Their mind is money.
Exactly.
And they're like, whoa, you guys, hold on. We have a real problem here. This isn't just a story problem. We have actual sales problems from mm-hmm. from these pre-order numbers. So as of yesterday, when this announcement took place, you saw the Xbox One shoot back up the charts at Amazon. So it definitely had an impact. People are like, okay, mm-hmm. well, now I'm willing to buy your box. So I don't know where they're at now, but still, I wonder how much ground they lost. There are also people who are like, too late. You already lost my trust. You know, there's reactions all across the board. Personally, yeah. I think it's kind of it's slightly in a corporate greedy way because all companies are that way. And Sony's not clean in this. Sony made their decisions right up to the minute when they were basing it off a lot of what Microsoft was saying. So when Microsoft says we're having all this DRM, it is in Sony's best interest to then cater their message later that afternoon to say we're not going to do the things Microsoft's going to do to you. It's all corporate one-upsmanship. So I understand sure. that, right? I'm realistic about all those things. But it does take some corporate bravery to accept mistakes like this and to own up to them and make a change and make you know changes because consumers are the ones who ultimately they're the ones who are paying you. So... That's how this relationship should work, and I think it's good. So anyway.
Yeah, plus, and it's all about the games anyway. You know, you have some good games on your system, people are going to buy it regardless. You know, if they're a Sony fanboy or a Microsoft fanboy, mm-hmm. get those exclusives, get those really good games, and that's what's really going to...
I'll end up with both at some point. I'm just going to buy the $100 less expensive one this year and get some... great games too, you know, mm-hmm. like there's plenty right. to play. There'll be plenty of time. Right. We'll see how it all shakes out.
By the way, before we get to the next story,
real
quickly, big thanks to Kemi Kazuch, who created the tiny URL. So those of you who are listening to the podcast and don't get the links that we post in the tadpool, it is tinyurl.com/frostyguy. If you want to see all the photos that were submitted for the contest.
Frosty guy. Fantastic. Marijuana moms say smoking weed makes them better parents. Too bad Wendy's not here to hear this one.
Right.
There's a buzz happening in Beverly Hills over a group of women calling themselves the Marijuana Moms. They should call themselves the Mary Janes. That'd be better.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I need to be their PR person. I don't even smoke pot.
The Mary Janes. The Mary Jane Girls, yeah, just like the band from like the 80s.
It was their band called the Mary Jane Girls?
The Mary Jane Girls, yeah.
I assume that was a veiled pot reference at the time, probably.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It didn't even make that connection back then, when I was, 12, 13.
Sure. But... it was an innocent time, Brian. Mm-hmm. All we cared about was fart jokes and cartoons.
That's all we cared about.
Yep. That's all I care about now. Many of the members of this loosely knit group of pot-smoking parents smoke the wacky weed in order to relax and cope with chronic pain. In addition, they meet regularly for lavish dinners where the herb or herb...
lavish dinners of Cheetos and...
pizza, day-old pizza.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. God, I'm so hungry.
Apparently, this herb is a key ingredient. Where do you stand on the herb thing?
Herb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know someone who in the network who would disagree with you.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's convinced. He's convinced. And let's not even get into the GIF thing.
It's the UK pronunciation. You know, it's the.
Yeah,
the King's English is
herbal essence.
Right.
is a key ingredient in the dishes like cannabis leaf salad, chicken fried in cannabis oil, and marijuana milkshakes, according to the news. The Orange News UK reported this. I kind of want to try the chicken fried in cannabis oil. That sounds interesting. But does that still retain its like medicinal power
THC,
in that?
THC, sure. Yeah, oh yeah. The shops here, the medical marijuana shops, which I'm sure at some point will be recreational marijuana shops.
Right.
Have tons of edibles. Like you can get marijuana butter, marijuana marinara sauce.
I need to get myself some.
Really?
I want to try the butter. I mean, I'll wait till it's legal where I get it. Everyone always asks, if it's legal, would you smoke it? Probably not, because I'm not interested in smoking anything. Mm-hmm. But if it was legal...
But you'll eat the butter.
I would eat the butter or the oil or the, taffy or whatever the hell it's going to be.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. That's actually the only way I would want to try it. I don't want to smoke it. Smoking it seems stupid. It's not good for you.
No, I mean, if you can get the same effect from just munching a brownie, hey, why not?
Right. So there you go. Cheryl Schumann, 53-year-old mother of two, says the group's joint mission. Mission. Hold on. I think they wrote that without thinking about it, but maybe they did. I don't know. Tough
Post. It's Huffington Post. They don't do. There's no tongue that's not firmly inserted into a cheek.
Joint mission. Cheech and Chong's joint mission coming this summer.
Harold and Kumar, joint mission to
be like cast. they're in a space capsule on their way to the moon, and they are smoking a lot of weed. So they go off course. They meet up with aliens. This stuff writes itself.
It pretty much does.
The group's joint mission is to show that smoking marijuana makes them better parents and better wives. Come up, quote: "We've all come up against people who say marijuana is for dirty druggies. But we are proof that you can be a good parent and productive members of society and use it," Schumann said, according to the Daily Mail. "I like to think we're bringing some glamour and exclusivity to marijuana use." All right, fine. Go make love to your tater.
Ah.
Your butter. Your butter on your tater.
Butter.
Butter. All right. Thank you for that article. Now let's talk about TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com offers fantastic value. Value.
Value.
Got a tweet right here. I'm going to read this here tweet. Okay. Got it yesterday. Hold on. Pull it right up.
I love these real world, people talking about Tweaked,
Indeed.
People can hear us talk about Tweaked all the damn time, but come on, let's hear what actual people with actual ears are saying.
Yes, exactly. And if I could find it, there it is. This is from the Lone Ranger JT on Twitter, who said, "Just ordered Tweaked Audio after hearing so much about them on the morning stream. Green PBs were out of stock. I went with the yellow. Stoked." So his are coming. Yes. He's excited. You'll be excited too. Fantastic earbuds at a price you can't afford. That's 33% off with the code STREAM at tweakedaudio.com. That comes with a lifetime warranty. They will take care of you no matter what happens. Hit a dude in the wiener in the bathroom, have to throw them away? No problem. They'll send you a new pair. It's not a problem. So if you were going to pay, here's an example. If you were going to pay $24.95 for the pair with our discount, that knocks it down to $19.95. Hard
awesome.
To beat. It's tweakedaudio.com. And as always, we appreciate their support of the show.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today you're going to hear the Cyndi Lauper cover story, Volume 2. She turned 60 this week, so happy 60th birthday to the girl who just wants to have fun, Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, I have a soft spot for Cyndi Lauper music.
I do too. I have a soft spot for Cyndi Lauper herself. I've always thought that she had just a very unique cuteness to her.
Yeah, very interesting look and face, and kind of contrasted with all the other 80s pop stars, I thought.
Totally. Yeah.
What's she look like now? Like a cat lady, or
She's still cute. Okay. She just actually won an award. I think a Tony Award for Kinky Boots, which is an adaptation of an adaptation of an older play, and she did all the music.
Oh, right.
For it, really, really cool stuff. So,
nice.
Go Cyndi Lauper, go.
Keeping on.
Of course, covers of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, All Through the Night, Time After Time. She-bop. I'm sure you're going to hear all that stuff on today's Coverville.
Well, sad news in the news today.
Yeah.
James Gandolfini, fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. And I think the only reason to see where the wild things are, if you want to hear his particular portrayal of one of those characters, is one of my favorite things ever. And, of course, The Sopranos and everything else, has died. He died in Italy of there's been some confusion. It sounds like now like it was an actual heart attack. There was talk of a stroke at one point. Mm-hmm. Some confusion. Plus, a week before all this, which I didn't report because I hate reporting on dumb rumors, but there was a fake death rumor that was going around.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, so really bad, creepy timing on that.
Yikes!
But you know, it's an internet, hoax or whatever.
Exactly.
So I actually thought for a little while this was a hoax because there was other sites claiming, hold on, you guys, this might still be that hoax we heard about. Mm-hmm. So I was like telling people online, chill out for a sec, let's find out what's going on. And I had somebody tweet me and go, quit perpetuating the idea that it's a hoax. He's dead, okay? Quit perpetuating this. I said, well, it was one tweet, and I'm blocking you. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Gandolfini, let's see, died earlier today. This was yesterday in Italy. Gandolfini is believed to have suffered a heart attack. This is according to Deadline.com. He was 51 is all. Mm. That's too young.
So young, yeah.
Gandolfini was in Italy to attend the 59th Taormina Film Festival in Sicily, I think it's called. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And he was scheduled to participate in a festival event this weekend with the Italian director Gabriele Muccino. He shot to fame playing Hitman in the 1993 hit True Romance and quickly became a Hollywood legend when he was cast as Tony Soprano in 1999. The Soprano had been around forever.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
He won 3 Emmy Awards for the role during the show's 6-season run. Gandolfini also has appeared in a ton of huge movies, including Get Shorty, The Mexican, and Zero Dark Thirty. And lots of stuff they don't mention here that I really like. I like his quieter moments.
Yeah, right.
He's
totally
unsung.
His more
for
serious.
Stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yeah, Zero Dark Thirty is a great example of that. That kind of role that he played that wasn't an over the top, gangster hitman. I just saw him in Burt Wonderstone. I hope he's got something. Hope he's got something else that he's filmed that they're going to release posthumously, because I'd hate for
Candy's. Right. Wagons East or freaking Street Fighter for Raul Julia.
Right.
Other good examples of that, but yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, speaking of The Mexican, this just reminded me of this. The new Daft Punk song, Get Lucky, which you hear all the time.
Yeah.
I did a comic about it yesterday called I'm Up All Night to Get Loki, and it's Thor.
Nice.
Yeah, you may want to check that out.
That's really funny. I will check that out. It's great.
Anyway.
just the description itself is all I need.
That's all you're going to hear it too. I can't hear anything else now. But toward the end of that song or middle of that song, it gets a little robot-y, and it sounds like they're saying something about getting a Mexican. I want you to hear this, all right? So here's...
All right.
So you know the song. Here it is. Normal, whatever. Let's jump ahead.
Raise the bar. We're up all night to get lucky. We're
all right.
Up all night to get lucky.
So there's a normal bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me skip ahead. Okay, here we go.
We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night to get. We're up all Mexican. We're up all Mexican.
Okay, hold on. Okay, now play without saying it.
Okay. Here's
okay, well,
here we go. Go back to where they're not doing it.
good fun. Okay, we're lucky. We're up all night. All night to the sun. I'm up all night to get lucky. We're up night to get lucky. Okay. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky.
We're up on Mexican. Or
I
something.
Can't unhear it now. That's all I can hear now. Wow.
It hasn't taken it away. I still love it, but now you got Loki and I'm up all Mexican in there. So.
God, I love that. Is such a great album.
It really is. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so. There are a lot of split on it. It's like Superman. Honestly, it's like Man of Steel. People are split. They're like some people hate it or they think it's. Amazing. I think it's Daft Punk's, I've said this before, I think it's their, I just forgot
Sergeant
the name.
Pepper?
Yeah. That's a great comparison. That's a great comparison. Because remember at the time, Sergeant Pepper was, people were like, what is this? Like, this is
I wasn't
Beatles.
Alive at the time, Scott.
Well, no, but that was the, my understanding is, that's how people felt about it.
Yes.
I wasn't alive either. But what? Paul's Boutique for Beastie Boys is what this reminds me of.
Yeah, good.
It's just
good.
People are split on it, but those who love it really like
it's such a departure from their predominantly electronic stuff and then going with so many analog instruments for this. I guess it's all analog except for synthesizer on the Giorgio Moroder song.
Yeah, yep.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's love totally it. Good. Love that stuff. Anyway, I'm up all Mexican. Don't forget. Paula Deen in the news.
Okay.
Paula Deen.
Making love to her tighter.
She is probably right now. she was asked under oath. She got deposed for something. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And she's used the N-word, she says, but she's not a racist. So here's how it went. When Paula Deen was asked under oath if she had ever used the N-word, she responded, "Yes, of course." And the shocking admission was all captured on tape. Deen was being deposed in connection with a pending sexual harassment lawsuit filed by a former employee who claims she was subjected to a barrage of racist, sexist, and generally inappropriate comments while she worked at Paula Oyster's house restaurant in Georgia.
Wow.
Here's how some of the testimony went before she was allowed to leave and make love to her tater. She says, "Have you ever used the N-word yourself?" She says, "Yes, of course." Lawyer said, "Okay, in what context?" "Well, it was probably when a black man burst into the bank and I was working at and pulled a gun to my head."
Really?
Side note, Paula was held up at gunpoint during a bank robbery in 86 when she worked at a bank.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Use that term when you've got somebody pointing a gun to your head who would be terribly offended by that term.
Right. It would be just as bad for a black lady working there and a white guy putting a gun to her head and saying, "What you doing, cracker?"
You know who could do that? Samuel Jackson.
Right.
And you're no Samuel Jackson.
You are no Samuel L. Mother effing who put the snakes on this plane Jackson.
Jeez.
So the lawyer says, "Okay, then what did you say?" She says, "Well, I don't remember, but the gun was dancing all around my temple. I didn't feel real favorable towards him." Lawyer said,
"Dancing all around her temple."
Says, "Okay, well, did you use the N-word to him as he pointed a gun at your head and to your face?" "Absolutely not," she says.
"No, well, just when I was describing him to the police."
Yeah, exactly. "Did you see that N-word?" Lawyer said, "Well, then when did you use it?" She says, "Probably in telling my husband." Lawyer said, "Have you used it since then?" "Oh, I'm sure I have. It's been a very long time." Goes on later to say, hold on, she says, "Well, is there any other context you've used the N-word?" She says, "I don't know, maybe in representing something that was said to me, like a joke?" "No, probably a conversation between blacks. I don't know. But that's just not a word that I use at a time." What? "Oh, that's just not a word that we use as time has gone on. Things have changed since the 60s in the South. And my children and my brother object to that word being used in any cruel or mean behavior, as well as do I." Anyway, she's full of
crap. Like, her, you know, her confession, it's like, "Excuse me, sir, do you know why I pulled you over today?" "Yes, because I am way drunk." "How much have you had to drink tonight?" "Dude, I have lost count after the first 6 or 7 shots.
I can't stop drinking.
And then I snorted a line of coke and did an 8-ball off a hooker's butt."
Or a
cooker's
hut.
Yeah.
That's good times. All right. Not a racist.
Yeah.
Let's play a mashup. You want to hear a mashup?
Yeah.
Guess maybe what, everyone?
Maybe she was singing a 50 Cent song.
50 Cent. Yeah, that's right.
50 Cent. I was just singing a 50 Cent song.
I like 50 Cent. He uses the N-word all the time. And he just keeps me making out of my tater.
All right. Here's what am I doing? Oh, a mashup from Freakish Lemon. He wanted to let us know he's alive. He did.
Yay.
He's way back in the 296 to 304 range, which is...
Oh, this will be like a walk down memory lane.
Yeah, we've done 100 episodes since then. So this is old. I remember none of the context. Here it is. Check it out. You should feel comforted. I'm wearing silk pajamas. Brian is got his artificial phallus.
Because chocolate is high in sugar, saturated fat, and calories, it should be consumed in moderation.
Other sure. stuff. So here's a good one. Alleged shoplifter. Shoplifter.
Sure.
Oh, Ted Cruz. Lavish us with your humor. I like Dookie. Make me feel better. Dance, monkey, dance.
Dance. Make me laugh.
Cockatron is my favorite. Give you a little bit of a short Johnson pull.
Wow, there is a hummingbird about 2 feet in front of my face.
No, you little piece of shit. We must fix the moisture evaporators.
All right, that might tell you how old it is.
Yes, right.
So that's an older
the genesis reference. Of that audio clip.
Oh, yeah. That was a while ago. All right. On that note, let's take a bit of a break when we come back.
Okay.
It's open calls. It's Call Now segment of the show.
Call Now.
We're calling it Call Now.
Call Now.
Yeah, take a look at call that.
Now. Take a look at this. Yeah. Call Now.
Dear, dear.
So when you call, you'll be able to ask us questions. We're going to take short questions. That's how we're doing it today. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Brian, how come you've only got the one testicle? What happened there? Things like that. So
right.
Be ready for that. That'll come up right after the break. Hold on to the Skype name, My Extra Life. Jeannie will help you out in the chat room for those who are in there so you can see that. And you can call without adding me or anything. You just call it in and we add you to the call. All right, let's take a break. Brian, what do you got?
I got a song, got a cover going out to Marshall. Says, hey, Spam and Bacon. I'm Bacon.
Gross.
Sorry for the short notice, and I hope you can squeeze this request in. June 20th, my wife and I will be celebrating 15 years of holy matrimony. She has truly been my best friend, and I want to thank her for putting up with me all these years. I know there are a lot of versions out there. I'd like to have you play my wife a cover of Let's Stay Together by Al Green. Maybe you can find one that isn't so popular, or maybe even a country version. Yeah, she likes country. Thanks for all that you guys do. Love the show, though. Marshall.
All right.
You know, I don't like country, so we're not going to play a country version. Actually, you know, this is probably the closest that I would get to country because I do clarify that I do like older country. I like Hank Williams, I like Willie Nelson, Kenny Rogers, stuff like that. But this is Obadiah Parker who was part of, Obadiah Parker is the group. Matt Weddle is the guy from Obadiah Parker. This is kind of like, it would border on bluegrass, I guess. This is from a 2008 EP that he released called The Tip Jar, Volume 1. And a great cover here of the Reverend Al Green's Let's Stay Together. Great cover. Enjoy it.
All right.
Obadiah Parker.
Sounds awesome to me. We'll be back in a moment with more of this fine program. Stay tuned.
So in love with you, whatever you wanna do is all right with me. It's you make me feel so brand new, and I wanna spend my life with you. Since we've been together, loving you forever is what I need. Let me be the one come running to,
aren't you? Whoa, let's stay together, loving you weather. What times are good or bad, they are happy or sad, no why. Why some people break up, turn around and make up. I just cannot see you would never do that to me. Staying around you is all I see. Oh no, unless, oh, let's stay together, loving you weather. Times are good or bad, they are happy or sad, no less. Oh, let's stay together, loving you weather.
Why, you never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
What was I doing here? Why was I tied up? How did I get here?
Got earbuds in my wiener. You got wiener in my earbuds. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. I missed the overdramaticness of 30s and 40s radio.
That was a great one, too. I like that.
Yeah, talking to yourself. Imagine if you woke up in a room somewhere tied to a chair. Do you think you'd say this?
What was I doing here? Why was I tied up? How did I get here?
Like, you would never say those words.
No, but because it's not a visual medium, you have to explain what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And I will take the gun.
That is still kind of the best thing ever.
It really is.
Okay, what are we doing? How's it?
We are trying to help you.
I don't want your kind of help.
Then I will have to take the gun.
All right, let's call nobody. Let's have people call us.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we're not calling Wendy. We're not, she's not here. She's on a trip to, she's probably in Nevada about now, and she's on her way to California, and something to do with her husband and his business trip, and they made a trip out of it, so they're gone. And as a result, I think the kids went too, so she is out. No help from Wendy today. No, I don't care how big your problems are. Forget it. Forget it. Instead, you guys are calling us.
You're just
going
to have to suffer for another week.
Indeed. So call us now. My Extra Life is the Skype name that you'll be using. My Extra Life, one word, and it will ring immediately. I will add you directly to the call, and you are allowed to ask questions. So feel free to do that. Please do. Does anyone want
to ask us one question? If you ask a second question, we will hang up on you immediately.
Who has a question?
If we don't like your question, we will hang up on you immediately.
Oh, the Germans are back, Ozzy. Listen here. All right, here's my question for you. Do you have, I'm going to live on the air right now.
Yes.
While they're going to call us and ask us a question, okay. I want you to ask me to ask Hodor a question. What is the question you want Hodor to answer? Because I have him. He's not going to come in here, but he's going to text answer it for me.
What does it really matter? Any question you ask him, the answer is going to be Hodor.
Well, you'd think so, but he is, that guy can talk, man. Talk.
What has been your favorite line to say on Game of Thrones?
I've already thrown that one at him, and he didn't seem to like that one. So I'm going to do a different one. Hey, how about this?
Yeah.
Who is your... let's see. To know. Who is your personal favorite character in GOT? Mm. Let's see who his favorite character is.
Yeah. Well, then he can answer Hodor.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And maybe he'll even, yeah, maybe he will.
He can be true to his character.
absolutely. All right. We got a call from Sean. Hello, Sean. Good morning.
Let's see if it keeps this week.
Yeah.
Question is.
Oh, yeah. You were the one that kept getting kicked off last time. That sucked.
Yeah. Kept saying like I had to be added as a friend or something. Oh, I don't know why.
Right. Oh, that's totally weird. All right. Normally that's not the case. But anyway, go ahead. What's your question?
So I finally got around to watching the Twit coverage of the Sony press conference.
Yeah.
With your guys' commentary.
Yeah.
So my question is, out of both the Xbox One and PS3, what game are you most excited for coming up with the new generation?
Oh, that's hard, but also easy. And it's hard because there's a couple of games they showed off that they didn't show off completely. Like, they didn't give us a lot more information on, like, The Order, which looks amazing to me, but that was real hush-hush. But here are my top probably three or four, okay? And then, Brian, I want to hear yours.
Okay.
For me... it's my brain just went dead. The Witcher 3, that's cross-platform, so that's on everything, including PCs, but I'm really looking forward to that. The Watch Dogs, probably number two, which again is multi-platform, so again, it kind of doesn't depend where
Watch
you're
Dogs
at.
Watch Dogs is, yep, that's...
yeah, Watch Dogs is the one I actually pre-ordered with my PS4.
And, really, yeah.
And probably third... everyone keeps in the chat room, they're all talking about that new Metal Gear Solid game, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of Metal Geared out. It looked pretty crazy, but I also know that those games kind of weird me out. If The Order lives up to what I think it looks like, then I think The Order is my game.
Doesn't get solid for those games right. anymore.
Oh, Destiny's the other game I really want real bad is Destiny. And maybe if I had to put a fifth on there, I'd tack on. I'm very interested in Titanfall, which is... currently, anyway, 360 and PC exclusive at the moment. The Division looks good. Lots of games look good, but I think those are my big exciting ones. How about you, Brian?
Watch Dogs. Yep. And I'm actually excited for Infamous 3.
Oh, yeah.
I really, really like those games.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that'll probably be the second one I get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot. Second Son. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe yes. I changed my list. That one's looking awesome. And that's a PS3 or PS4 exclusive.
That's an
so.
Exclusive, yeah.
I like the exclusive. So
it's hard not to call it the PS3, isn't it?
It is.
I'm doing that myself.
Like, it's even harder to call the Xbox One the Xbox One for me. So, yes. They should have just reset it and called it the Xbox. And they should have just reset the PlayStation, just called it the PlayStation.
No, I don't agree with.
You don't think so? I think it's time. They do this all the time, you know. They just reset. It's like...
that's like coming out with a new Star Trek movie and just calling it Star Trek.
They did.
Or a new Spider-Man movie and just calling it, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man.
They did. They did those very same things. Reset. All right. Thanks a lot, Sean. It's good to talk to you. Update, Christian Narn says, beep, 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 beep. TV's Hodor says, varies for sure. So he likes the sneaky little Spider-Man that knows everybody's... Yeah, the eunuch. He likes the eunuch. Awesome. Okay, sorry, I'm typing back to him. All right, next up we have...
which Game of Thrones actor smells the most like soup?
let's see. It looks like we got Jordan on the line. Hi, Jordan. Hello, Jordan.
Jordan.
Jordan, hello. Jordan. Oh, Jordan's not there. Let's add Andrew to the call. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, this is Jinx.
Jinx, how you doing, dude?
Jinx.
I'm doing great.
This is what I like about you. Your avatar is Grover, and he looks like Doctor Who, and that's awesome. So good job on that.
Thank you.
What's on your mind? What's up?
If somebody handed you two the keys to the DC movie franchise, what would be your next move?
Well, it depends on if the Edge is in charge or if... oh, you don't mean you two, the band. You mean us two, as in it's us two. All right. Well, let's answer his question. Thanks for your call. We'll answer it while he's not there, because that way we can take more calls. If we had the franchise, well, what would you do, Brian?
Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. No question about it.
I think I would. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I would. Oh, okay. The Sixth Gun, without question.
Oh, yeah.
That needs to be.
You got me into that.
Yeah, that needs to be a series of films, and it needs to be quick. That's an amazing piece of work, that thing. Mm-hmm. There's so many good comics, but Alan Moore's Swamp Thing is good.
Yeah, and Camelot 3000, I think, could use a refreshing.
Yep, I agree. Those are good answers. Keep your calls coming. We love talking to you guys. Keep it all coming. Mm-hmm. Here, I'm going to tell Christian. I'm going to say, sorry.
Which Game of Thrones actor has the messiest trailer?
Chat. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll say one more question. Who has the messiest trailer? All right. We're going to take a call here from, looks like, Jordan. Jordan, hi there.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. How you doing, man?
I can hear you now. Good.
Yeah, sorry about before. My mic was muted and I didn't realize it.
Yeah, it's all good. That's how these things work. No worries. What's your question?
So about the Man of Steel movie, the controversial part that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't even, when I was seeing the movie, I didn't even realize that was the controversial part, because I don't know a lot about Superman, and I thought that part was, I thought he took too long to kill.
Oh,
right,
yeah. It took too long to spoil it. No, that's a, you make a decent point. If you're not really familiar with the sort of the long haul, of Superman, and maybe even the long haul of Batman, because Batman's very strict about that rule. That's one of the things they do agree on, right? They've got this one, at least they have traditionally agreed on this one rule, which is, you know, keep collateral damage to an absolute minimum. This movie seemed to throw that out the window a little bit. But again, my argument for the movie, because part of me doesn't like it either. Part of me is mad about all that. You know, part of me, I understand why people are really bothered by that, and it doesn't seem true to the character. But the reason I'm kind of okay with it is a little bit of putting faith in them doing something about it in the next film or addressing it in some way, because you can make this moment of clarity where it's like, wow, I didn't know I was capable of this kind of crap.
Right.
And I really need to not do this ever again. And I need to, this needs to be part of my commitment to humanity and to mankind, and make this place a better place and not tear it all to pieces every time I have to get into a fight. So it'll be interesting to see if they can pull that off. I don't know.
I think it was handled so well with the reaction, the thing after it. I think if he would have had a little flashback to Kevin Costner after that moment, I think it would have even been a little bit more powerful.
Yeah,
you know, like just remembering a time when Pa Kent said he was disappointed in him, or sometimes
like
you have to do the things you've got to do and you don't like doing it, or something like that, you know?
Sure, sure. It just would have been, if they truly addressed the devastation and just not treat it like it was a video game and nobody got hurt, that'll feel empty to me. So I feel like they just have to address it in some way. Iron Man did a good job of addressing those
things. They did. They totally did. They talked about the destruction of New York and all that.
And how it affected him and others and everyone. And that's good. That's a good way to deal with that. All right. We have Cheesy G on the line. Hello.
Hey. She can finally ask us about what we can do at Nerdtacular.
Yeah. What was that question? I don't remember. Do you remember?
Yeah. I hope I do. Okay. First of all, are we going to get you guys to karaoke?
Karaoke.
Oh, karaoke.
Let me think.
Or zipline.
Was one word hell no, or is that two words? Zipline, I might. Zipline, I might. I've done that zipline. It's fun. It depends.
We all have a blast doing either one, or both, or both simultaneously.
Brian's known to do karaoke. He'll be fine. He'll
yeah,
do karaoke.
I've got karaoke on video.
Yeah, I may not do that. We'll see. I don't know. I'm making zero promises until I get there about anything, because I just don't know. I need to get into the groove of it, know what's happening, and you know, get the...
You heard it here first, folks. Scott's going to karaoke Get Into the Groove by Madonna. Right there. I heard it. Anybody else hear it? I heard it.
All
right.
I'll do that while on the zip line. Take care of these two birds with one stone. Anyway, Kathy, I'm excited to see you. You're coming again, as always, and it's going to be a blast.
True.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
And I'll know people now. Yay.
Yay. Kathy will know people. That's all right. It's always that first time. It's a little bit rough. Thanks, Kathy. Let's take one from another Jordan. Hello, Jordan.
Howdy, gentlemen. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing most excellent. Hope you can hear me well, because the question that I have for you is incredibly important. I mean, it's like life-shaping, world-changing. And I don't know if it's been asked before, but would you rather, and I miss the would you rather stuff, so bring that back, but would you rather change genders every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between a baby and a muffin?
Okay, that is really weird, but I like it. I like this a lot.
You know what? I think it'd be kind of fun to change genders every time you sneeze, just to have that. You know, that'd almost be like a superpower, right?
It kind of would, except you'd be. But see, your clothes and your hair and your, well, you know, you don't necessarily all that would happen is you'd go from lady to dude, and you'd go, now I have a penis, now I have a vagina, now I have boobs, now I don't. You know,
imagine
what I mean?
All of the wardrobe changes you'd have to go through, though. I mean, you'd be wearing, you know, a nice spring dress, and you'd be looking really great, and all the dudes would be hitting on you, and then all of a sudden, some pollen or whatever get in your nose, you start sneezing.
Yep, it's all the crying game all up in there. Yep.
Hair, too, so, I mean...
Suddenly you're Jay Davidson, and you got your wiener strapped up.
You know what? I sneeze so rarely that I think it would be like... All right, I'm going to induce some sneezing now just to, you know.
Well, I was just going to say, I think I agree with the sneezing thing because I can actually make myself sneeze real easy. It's a skill I've always been able to do, so not a problem. I think that's the one I'd go with. So even if I sneezed out of womanhood, I would quickly sneeze back into manhood or whatever.
Every time I'd sneeze, I'd get 1,000 more Twitter followers. I think it'd be great. That'd be the way to go. Plus, I don't want to be stuck in the back of the bus going, the muffin was a baby.
Right, you never want that. Jordan, thanks. And that girl you're with in your avatar looks cute. Is it who's she?
That is my mom, sir.
No, she's a liar. Is that really your mom?
That is seriously my mom.
Your mom is really young looking. Wow.
Thank you. I get that a lot. People think she's my sister. Also, can I do a quick shout out to a coworker who works with me, or used to, and he listens to the morning stream, John Stone. He is a gentleman and a scholar.
And a man with two very similar first and last names, John Johnstone.
Very true.
That's pretty awesome. He sounds like a famous explorer. That's when John Johnstone entered India and brought with him the pox. All right, have fun. We'll see you. Take that, everyone.
You were hitting on his mom.
I did. She's cute, though. Cute little redhead.
I don't get the good avatars. I didn't see the Grover one. I just get blue background white head.
That's true. You do. Okay.
My favorite cake song, by the way.
Alexandra is online.
Hello.
For a girl. Hello.
Hey.
Background and a white head.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Let's see. My question is, do you have any good advice for a young, starving artist trying to make it in the big world?
Whoa, let's see. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Did you draw your avatar? Is that avatar your artwork?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That is an illustration of myself, actually.
Then you are way ahead of the game.
That's perfect if you look like a blue background with a white head.
Yeah, Brian can't see it. Very minimalist approach, Brian's thinking.
Yes.
It's really good, and every time you've called in, I've seen it and meant to ask if that was something you had done. If that's your work, then and you say it is, then I say you're way ahead of the game, and the issue is just putting your head to the grindstone and working on stuff and putting yourself online and having people look at it, and eventually you will get noticed more and more. And as long as you're consistent, whether that be through some sort of comic work or whatever the expression is, you'll get noticed. People will want to see more of it, and you'll gain a following because you've already got the artwork. And that looks really good.
So just stand there with a big sign going, look, I'm over here.
Well, I mean, everyone always wants to know. Like, I've been doing the webcomic for 12 years as of, oh my gosh, is it today? I think today might be...
Really? June 20th is your anniversary?
You know what? I better make sure that... Let me
incredible.
Look it up, because now I'm freaked out like that I may have missed my own anniversary. I think it's been... Okay, hold on. Let's go to First Comic, which is really hard to look at. No, I'm sorry. I missed it. It was the 17th. Fantastic. So,
three days ago. You better buy yourself some chocolate to make up for it.
3 days ago in 2001, I started the My Extra Life comic, which runs to this day. And to nobody. I put it out into a vacuum. There was nobody there. Nobody saw it. Nobody knew about it. It just took time. And now thousands and thousands read it every time there's a new one up there. So it just takes time and consistency. And it's really pretty much that simple. I know any, you know, anytime somebody says, well, when can I put up, well, first I'll say, look, I'm trying to do a web comic. And I was wondering how do I make a store to sell t-shirts and hats? I'm like, don't do that first. That is the last thing you do. It took me 8 years before I started selling any swag, really. And that's not to say to you, hey, it's going to take you 8 years. You could be the next big sensation and do it overnight. But that is usually the exception to the rule. And it just takes time. So don't do it as a, I'm going to make it big in comics. Do it as, I love doing this and I'm going to do it because I love doing it. And that's usually all it takes to then start garnering a following. So,
right. Consistency, regularity, and because like, I've dropped podcasts that are too infrequent or stopped following blogs that, you know, only posted once every few months. So if you stick with it, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, people will stick with it. They'll find you. Twitter and Facebook and all those things would have helped me so much in 2001. It would have been huge to have all of those outlets. So you have more tools at your disposal than we've ever had before. So yeah, it's now is the time. Grasp it. And be regular and consistent like Brian's diet and bowel movements. Bye.
Well, yeah, half right.
Half right. All right. Let's take one more. If there's one more out there, we'll take it. Let's see. Update from Christian Narn, TV's Hodor. Mm-hmm. He says, of all the trailers I've seen, because we asked him which is the most messy trailer, of all the trailers I've seen, I'm sorry to say, it's mine.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Hodor.
Made our morning.
He answered Hodor.
He did. All right. One last call. This one from Cliff. Hello, Cliff.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, man? He's Geek Orthodox. Says his, Brian, I'll tell you what his avatar is, okay?
Okay, tell me, yeah.
It's a t-shirt that says Geek Orthodox on it.
Because nice. I'm the Revan Geek, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby. Revan Geek.
Okay. Here's to you, gentlemen. Good to talk to you.
And Noggin Fogger Elixir. Listen.
Calling into the show.
The end segments on the instance, they are, because I hear them every week. All it takes is just a tiny piece of it, and my memory just gets yanked hard, like to last Friday. It's the weirdest feeling.
It's weird that little drum beat starts and everything falls into place. Yeah. Weeks when I'm not even sure what I'm going to talk about, I'll sit down and listen to it, and it'll come together.
Yeah, it's those are awesome. Please keep those coming because we
and
love
talk
those.
About speaking right I to consistency and regularity, man. Yep. You're on it.
Yeah, he's there every freaking week. Occasionally, you know, once in a while, maybe not there, but that's all of us really. But he's a good example of that. And people now like Tom Merritt. I don't know if you know this, Revan Geek, but Tom Merritt loves that segment, and he mentions it to me all the time.
You know, I feel awful about something that happened with Tom last year at Dragon Con. Him and Veronica came in to something that the AIE group was doing, and I got my picture with Veronica and was just talking to her and didn't even realize that Tom was like right behind and like pretended like it was like he wasn't even there. And I feel awful about that because I'm a fan of his work too.
Yeah.
But, you know, Veronica was Veronica.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. It's easy to know who she is. That's the problem. See, that's why she's got the 1.8 million Twitter followers and Tom has, you know, 50 something thousand. That's the way it works. Anyway, that's not true. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, the question I had was, and I know you're laser beam focused on Nerdtacular, as you should be, but I'm wondering, are we going to see you on the East Coast in the fall for Dragon Con?
There is a chance, a possibility. It depends a little bit on funding and whether or not, because I'm going to BlizzCon this year for sure.
Okay.
And that,
okay.
and a plan to go to Emerald City Comic Con next, I guess that's next winter. Or no, is it next spring? Whatever it is. Early next year, some of that may negate my chances of being at Dragon Con, but there's a possibility. There's actually quite a few Frog Panty people going, and there's a very so there's. I'll just say it this way: there's a better than 60% chance I'm going, but I'm not ready to commit yet.
Yeah, well, there's two Frog Pantians that run the podcasting track at Dragon Con.
Yeah, Nicole and Brian Dunaway are going to be running.
I'm saying all we need to do: you and I show up, we do a TMS live. We bring the house down, and it's costumed, hot, sexy Captain America's and Thor's for the whole rest of the weekend.
That's all it even needs to be. Well, how hot is it that time of year anyway? I'm just curious. What's it like in
August? It is bad. Yeah. It depends on the year. Some years it's awful. Other years it's comfortable. There are some years I look at the leather-clad, chain mail-wearing people just like, oh, how are they even standing?
Yeah, the one time I was in Atlanta a number of years ago, I remember thinking, this is the essence of BO. Like, this is the worst humidity combination I've ever experienced in my life. It was pretty bad in Houston, and Mississippi's pretty bad. Like, the South, really. How are you people doing this? What are you doing down there? How do you shower? How do you feel good about yourselves?
I used to live down there permanently, so it was. I was adjusted to it, but now I'm an Ohioan, so I have to re-get my skin back every year.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll definitely keep people informed if we end up both being there, or even one of us. People will know, no question about it. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, rage quitting man. Here's
to you, Mr. Nerdtacular Planner.
Oh my gosh, that weirds me out to hear that. Take it easy, dude. Have a good week. That's it. That's calls. We're done.
Nice.
Oh,
do you want to read emails? Some emails?
Yeah, I got a couple more here. Got one here from Tim. Says, "Dear Solomon Grundy and Bizarro." You're Bizarro.
That's fine.
They're kind of the same. They're not all that different, those two guys. At least in the Super Friends, they weren't.
Exactly. Pale, pasty skin. Although, you know, Bizarro was a lot more fun because it would almost be the opposite of everything, except it would still be, you know, like the opposite of yes is no, but the opposite of thank you is, you know, they would play with that that a little bit too much.
Absolutely.
I don't know where I'm going. Please read this email.
All right, I'm going to read this email. One quick note though. This is about a softy my daughter is. So Carter's she's a softy for things like the Futurama episode with the dog that waited for Fry to come back and didn't. Yeah. Those kinds of things really get to her. And she'll cry. And she's not afraid to show emotion, and it's great. I love it about her. It's one of my favorite things. So she's watching an episode of Justice League, the newer, not Justice League Unlimited, but the cartoon that came before that on Cartoon Network that ran for a bunch of years, had the, can't remember his name, but the black Green Lantern on it. Anyway, that cartoon was on Cartoon Network for a while. Mm-hmm. She's watching an episode where Solomon Grundy is helping helping the Justice League get some stuff done. So he's working on the good side for a while. And he ends up dying in the process. And sort of sacrificed himself so that, you know, Justice League could do what they had to do. And she bawled her eyes out.
Aww.
Because Solomon Grundy sacrificed himself for good in the end.
That's awesome.
She's such a nerd. Anyway, all right. I've been a listener since the second half of the year. Due to my situation and schedule, I can only listen to the show in podcast form in the evenings. Podcast form, typically while I am laying in bed. I just wanted to send you a quick note of thanks. Over the last few months, my baby daughter struggled through several illnesses, and I've lost my job, my family, and I lost our home. Although I am a God-fearing man, and I am sure there is some reason for all of this, you guys have made this easier by giving me some good laughs at night after long days of fruitless job searches and seeing our bank account slowly drop to zero. Keep up the good work, and thanks again, Tim. I always feel real bad when I hear about people going through rough times.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's some light at the end of that tunnel, knowing that we're at least bringing some enjoyment there. And perhaps that helps him go on and, you know, make the next day happen again and again until things work out. Because they will.
Yeah. The It'll strength, work out. Tim, the strength is actually coming from you. Whether it's the occasional laughs that we might bring to help bring that out of you, it's your strength and it's your perseverance that is helping you pull through. So
agreed.
Thank us all you want, but it's really you should be thanking.
Yeah, you should, and you'll do great, dude. Just stick with it, you'll be fine. Hi Stan Sitwell and Buster Bluth. This is from Scott in Long Beach, California. Speaking about your surgery playlist, my eye surgeon also moonlights as a DJ and frequently flies out to play clubs. During my surgery, he played his own mix. Also, the eye doctor was the person that introduced me to Doctor Who. He tried to explain to me why a medicine wasn't working and ordered me to watch the episode with the Jadoon. I have to test his Trek knowledge. And just FYI, yellow drops are generally numbing medicine. Dilating drops are usually clear, and the bottle has a red cap. I suppose this may be a brand, but I've never seen otherwise. Tolerate the program, however. Scott in Long Beach, California. Okay. Huh. All interesting stuff, but I will say this. Absolutely, the drops that were used to dilate me were yellow. Yeah. So were the numbing ones too. So I don't know what's going on there. It was all pee. Somebody's pee.
It's a urine sample.
Yeah, it's just a urine. Yeah.
Well, the dilating drops come in that blurry white bottle, and the numbing drops come in that blurry white bottle, and the.
Yeah, I wonder now that you say that. Mm-hmm. All right, what are we doing? Is that it? Oh, Cleo. Yeah, we got Cleo. Let's do Cleo. Let's get her in here. Nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this bit of tripe that we do at the end of the show. What is that tripe? Tripe is a food, right? It's like a fish.
It is a fish.
Is it a fish? There you go.
It's a done fish. What we came to fish.
Should we tallywhack it?
Fish.
All right. It's Cleo. Hello, Cleo. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right. I still think that Janeway farts a lot.
They seem to flagellate.
All right. Sorry. What brings you to our lonely little town? Do you have points or something?
I got some points.
Okay.
I got two really good points to hand out.
Boil it down, will you? Yeah.
All right. When we were talking about Mary Jane moms, E. Kardoshinsky said, so basically when they stop to smoke the pot to help manage chronic pain, they're referring to their children, which is probably very, very accurate.
Yep. There's truth in them there, Hills.
Chronic pain. Well, yes.
Davey wants a popsicle, pass the bong. Mm. Okay. The other one that I got, which was the big winner today, was from War Crusher. He said when Paula Deen was being racist, we were talking about that. He said when Samuel L. says cracker, Paula Deen just gets hungry.
Nice.
I want a cracker. Y'all, excuse me. I'm going to make love to my cracker.
Oh, God. No.
All right. Fair enough.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Is that everybody? Is that everyone?
That's everyone
today.
Oh,
my gosh. That's so great. You did boil it down.
Boil it down, will you?
She did. She boiled it down.
I did.
Well, good job, as always, and excited to see you in a couple of weeks as well, by the way.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It should be a good time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be an amazing experience. So we'll look forward to that, but more importantly, we'll look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Yay.
See ya, guys. Bye. All right, let's do the end of this show, which goes something like this. AlphaGeekRadio.com does our shoutcast stream. Thank you guys over there for that. Scott Fletcher for doing all our little voice bumpers. He's the man. We love him in ways that are almost unnatural. Get our t-shirt at /loot.com. It is the number one selling t-shirt at /loot.com, and we thank you for that. No shirt sells more than the TMS shirt, and that makes me happy and excited to know /hear that. On the website, find us at frogpants.com/TMS, at facebook.com/themorningstream. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, und Coverville.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to do it for us. Brian, what is on tap for musical enjoyment now?
Well, quick correction. Tripe actually is meat that comes from the stomachs of various farm animals. Big thanks to a bunch of listeners who corrected us on that. Stomach meat.
Really weird.
It comes from a lot of different... Wow. This is a big thanks to FrogFan9940 who sent me a link to the Wikipedia article with lots of fantastic pictures, and now I'm not hungry anymore.
No tripe for me.
No.
Well, that sounds great.
All right, how about a song?
All right, song.
Hey, Sean and Burton, I'm turning 20 on June 19th. That was yesterday. And to celebrate, I'd love to request a song for the show. Because of Coverville, I discovered and subsequently fell in love with the band I Fight Dragons. So, if you could play a cover of or by them, or a band similar to them, I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you for the great show and hours of entertainment. Love the show, though. Austin from Austin, Texas, or plain old sir in the chat when possible.
Mm, my daughter loves that band.
I do too.
And there's a Utahn from in there. Hey, Kim, who's the Utahn in Imagine Dragons? Oh, they're from Orem? The whole band is. Oh, they're from like 20 minutes from here. They formed and began there. So there you go.
I was compiling the list for Nurtacular bands, you know, with Same Sex Mary and John and Elio. Mm-hmm. And they were on the list. And
my kids would have flipped their junk.
You know, maybe we'll plan that for 2014.
Yeah, we'll see.
I am not at all complaining about the lineup that we have for Nurtacular for music. No, so
these guys are going to be great.
Yes.
I'm excited.
No one's going to be saying, oh, I wish I Fight Dragons were here.
And for those of you going, hey, how come Paul and Storm aren't coming back? Well, they may. Just wait till next year. Maybe they will be.
They actually asked us if they, you know, if we wanted them back. And I like mixing it up.
Yeah, you know, we didn't want to. You don't want too much pollen storm. You want to. Exactly. You want to get a taste of it and go, oh man, I sure could go for more of that. Now we're going to make you wait a little bit so that it tastes even better next time.
Exactly. I wanted to get some more John Anilio and then sprinkle them in with some George Robb, some Same Sex Mary, and some Andrew Allen.
Yeah, as if they're all in a spice rack, just waiting for us to shake them on things.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you never know. Might be a little mixture going on there.
I like it.
Okay, so I Fight Dragons is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And this one came out as a super secret exclusive. Came out in the summer of 2009. I don't know where you can get your hands on this, but I got my hands on it, and hopefully. Hopefully you can too.
Sure.
That's just waiting for Freakish Limit,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right. It'll only be another 100 episodes before he hears it, but yes.
That's right, yes. This is a cover of Jonathan Coulton, speaking of geek music, I Fight Dragons and their cover of The Future Soon.
Ah, very nice. All right, well, let's play that. No shows till Monday. So come back next week.
Don't sleep till Brooklyn.
And enjoy it, because I think next week's is our last week before Nerdtacular. Do I have
that
right?
It is, yes. Holy yeah, four episodes, shit, and then dude.
That's crazy.
Then I start writing questions for Battle of Frogpants All-Stars.
We only have one more week of TMSs before the event, honey. Can you believe that? Anyway, my wife seems confident, while I'm not. All right, here it is. The Future Soon. We'll see you on Monday. Bye, everybody.
Last week I left a note on Laura's desk. It said, I love you, signed anonymous friend. Turns out she's smarter than I thought she was. She knows I wrote it, now the whole class does too. And I am all alone during couples skate. When she skates by with some guy on her arm. But I know that I'll forget the look of pity on her face. When I'm living in my solar dome on a platform in space. Cause it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. And when my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here. I'll probably be some kind of scientist, building inventions in my space lab in space. I'll end world hunger, I'll make dolphins speak. Work through the daytime, spend my nights and weekends perfecting my warrior robot race. Building them one laser gun at a time. And I'll do my best to teach them about life and what it's worth. I just hope that I can keep them from destroying the earth. Cause it's gonna be the future soon. I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away. It's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. When my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here on Earth. They'll wonder as I piece by piece replace myself. The steel and the circuits will make me whole, but I still feel so alone. So Laura calls me home. I'll see her standing by the monorail. She'll look the same except for bionic eyes. She lost the real ones in the robot wars. I'll say I'm sorry, she'll say it's not your fault. Or is it? She'll eye me suspiciously. Hearing the whir of the servos inside. And she'll scream and try to run, but they'll
place to hide when a crazy cyborg wants to make you his robot bride. Cause it's gonna be the future soon, and I won't always be this way. When the things that make me weak and strange get engineered away, it's gonna be the future soon. I've never seen it quite so clear. And when my heart is breaking, I can close my eyes and it's already here.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Jag ska hitta hotet.
An old favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Ye old favorite.
Jag ska hitta hotet.